Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
Good morning. Christ is risen. Amen. Thank you and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. What a joy it is to be in worship with you today. For the faces I get to see in the sanctuary and those who are joining us online, we thank you for being with us and we pray this service is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here, and my colleague, Brother Hammett Evans, will be delivering today's message, and he's going to share the story of Paul and Silas in prison. It's going to be a wonderful message, and I pray that it's a blessing to you. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get started. If we have a chance, we have the attendance pads back out. So for those of you here in the sanctuary, please take time and fill that out. Thank you. And if you're watching online, you should have a QR code there on your screen. You can scan that and do your attendance that way. You can also log in prayer requests, which we would love to have. Our next discussion on the state of the United Methodist Church will be 1 week from today, and that's going to occur at noon in the warehouse. And so if you haven't had a chance to attend one of the first two conversations, we encourage you to come and listen and hear more and learn more about what is going on in the United Methodist Church. That Sunday is also Pentecost Sunday, and so we encourage you to wear red on that Sunday as we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. VBS, we're still in the sign-up phase, am I correct? And so there's a QR code on the back of your bulletin you can scan to sign up to volunteer for VBS. And then I believe there is still a sign-up table right down the hall by the restrooms, and so you're welcome to do that as well. With that, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Amen. Please stand and join me for our call to worship. It is printed on your bulletin. Clap your hands, people of God.
Shout to God, Christ is your Lord.
Look to the heavens, brothers and sisters of Christ.
Which is the power of our God.
Clap your hands, people of God.
Shout to God, Christ is your Lord.
Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It's found on page 133 of your hymnal. Please remain standing for our prayer of invocation, which is also found in your bulletin. We are people who must sing to you for the sake of our very lives. You are a God who must be sung by us for the sake of your majesty and honor. And so we thank you for lyrics that push us past our reasons, for melodies that break open our givens, for cadences that locate us home, beyond all our safe places, for tones and tunes that open our lives beyond control and our futures beyond despair. We thank you for the long parade of mothers and fathers who have sung you deep and true. We thank you for the good company of artists, poets, musicians, cantors, and instruments that sing for us and with us toward you. We are witnesses to your mercy and splendor. We will not keep silent ever again. Amen. Please be seated.
Ooh.
Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we gather this morning in all different conditions, in different mindsets, with different hurts, different concerns. But we come together in this moment, in this place, to praise and glorify your name. And we gather this morning with one heart that is hurting. We pray for the city of Uvalde, Texas. We pray for parents who wake up this morning with a young child's bed that is empty, with toys that will not be played with again, with clothes that will not be worn, with pictures and birthdays that will not occur. Our hearts are heavy, as many of us have children. And God, as we all sit here as your beloved children, we know the pain. We know the fear that comes with that. God, we pray this morning for the city of Buffalo. We pray for those who are impacted by the senseless murders that occurred there as well. And God, we pray that your mercy, that your love rains down upon us all. We pray that we see the call you have placed on us as the image of Christ in the world to act. We pray that at some point in this nation and in our church, we decide that enough is enough. And God, we pray for strength as we walk alongside those in our community who hurt. Here in Little Rock as well, we feel at times, God, like we are surrounded and overwhelmed by evil, by crime. And it can seem overwhelming, but we know that you are at work in a mighty way. We trust that you shine through. And so, God, we give you thanks for all that you are, for the things we see you do and the things we do not see you do. God, we are here in pain, but we have so much to be thankful for the blessings that you pour into our lives constantly. We are thankful on this weekend for all the brave men and women who willingly gave their lives for this country. We pray today for their spouses, for their children, for their parents, for their brothers and sisters. We pray for all of those who show bravery in the face of evil. And God, we pray that this weekend we remember the mighty sacrifice of those brave individuals. God, this morning we pray for our community here in Little Rock. We pray for our church here at Asbury. We pray for all of those who are hurting. We pray this morning specifically for the city of Uvalde. We pray for all of those who are heading to annual conference. We pray for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier. We pray for Fred Williams and for Barbara Clark. Pray for Megan Arnold and for Patty Shoemaker. We pray for Joyce Dennis and Doug Chenault. We pray for Lanny Langley and Gene Hammett. And we pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know that you are at work in all of their lives in a powerful way. And we give you thanks for doing all that we are unable to do. And God, we gather this morning, as we do every Sunday, above all else, to give you thanks and praise for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the way he reconciled us back to you, through his mighty sacrifice on the cross, through his powerful victory over death and the resurrection. God, we thank you for all that Christ has taught us, all that he is teaching us, and all that he will teach us. And we thank you, God, that through moments like this, we can come to you in prayer with our burdens. We can lay them at your feet. And God, we thank you that we know how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. We will now say that together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So move into our time of offering. Today we're going to do some singing, I believe. Is that correct, Brother Hammett? We're going to sing a little bit. Paul and Silas will be singing. And singing always brings us such joy, as it is a joy to be part of this kingdom building effort that God calls us to be. And so this morning, as we do our time of offering, lean into the Spirit. And trust that God is at work in a mighty way through all of our gifts. If you are watching online, you can scan the QR code and it will present all of the giving options. With that, let us pray over this time of offering. Gracious, loving God, what a blessed gift it is to be counted among your children. Now we know that you are at work in such a mighty way in this world, and it is an honor and a blessing to be just a small part of what you call us to do. God, during this time of our gifts, may we remember our time and our talents, our presence, and our financial resources that pour into all that you do in this world. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Revealed unto
invite Nicole up, Nicole Rose, our Director of Children and Young Families, as she shares a special message with our children.
Is it summer break? Are we excited? Yes, I'm sure. Okay, I have a question for you. I want you to try to think of your favorite snack or treat, like your very, very favorite. What's yours?
Strawberry ice cream.
Strawberry ice cream. I love it.
They're called Pop-Tarts.
Oh, I know about Pop-Tarts. Let me tell you. Nope, you don't want to tell it. Anyone else want to share theirs? What?
Ice cream.
Ice cream. Ira, do you have one? Favorite treat? No? Well, I want you to think about your favorite treat. And what if I told you you had to give it to someone else? Like you had it right in front of you. You had your Pop-Tart right in front of you. And you're about to eat it. And I said, actually, you need to give it to someone else. Not share it. Not like you keep half and you give half away. But you just had to give the whole thing away. And you had nothing. How would that make you feel? Would that be kind of hard to give away? You'd be happy to do that? That's so nice. Because it's sharing. That's right. That's right. Well, I think it would be kind of hard to give away something that I loved so very much and that was so important to me. Right? But how do you think it would make the other person feel?
Really happy.
It would make them feel so happy. I would feel really happy if you shared your favorite treat with me. Well, the reason that I'm asking you this is because of what tomorrow is. Does anyone know what tomorrow is?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, that's right. Do you know what Memorial Day is and why we have it? No? Well, we have Memorial Day to remember the men and women that gave up their lives for our country. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? They sacrificed a lot more than their favorite snack or their favorite treat. Yeah. Can you think of someone else that we all know that gave up something pretty important for us? Do you want me to give you a hint? Starts with a G. Jesus? Yeah. What did Jesus give up? His life for us, right? And God gave us Jesus, right? God gave up his son so that we could have eternal life in heaven. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah? Well, tomorrow on Memorial Day, I want you to think about how hard it would be for you just to give up like your favorite toy or your favorite snack and think about how lucky we are that we have people that give up way more than that for us. Can you do that for me tomorrow? Maybe. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, we are so thankful for those who paid the price for our freedom. We thank you for the freedom we have because of your son, Jesus, who was willing to pay the ultimate price. We love you very much. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 16, and I'll be reading verses 16 through 34. One day when we were on the way to the place for prayer, we met a slave woman. She had a spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She made a lot of money for her owners through fortune telling. She began following Paul and us, shouting, "These people are servants of the Most High God. They are proclaiming a way of salvation to you." She did this for many days. This annoyed Paul so much that he finally turned and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave her." It left her at that very moment. Her owners realized that their hope for making money was gone. They grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the officials in the city center. When her owners approached the legal authorities, they said, "These people are causing an uproar in our city. They are Jews who promote customs that we Romans can't accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attacks against Paul and Silas, so the authorities ordered that they be stripped of their clothes and beaten with a rod. When Paul and Silas had been severely beaten, the authorities threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to secure them with great care. When he received these instructions, he threw them into the innermost cell and secured their feet in stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. All at once, there was such a violent earthquake that it shook the prison's foundations. The doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer awoke and saw the open doors of the prison, he thought the prisoners had escaped, so he drew a sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted loudly, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for some lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He led them outside and asked, "Honorable masters, what must I do to be rescued?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your entire household." They spoke the Lord's word to him and everyone else in his house. Right then, in the middle of the night, the jailer welcomed them and washed their wounds. He and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his home and gave them a meal. He was overjoyed because he and everyone in his household had come to believe in God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nick. Good morning and welcome to Asbury. I'm Hammond Evans, the senior pastor here, and I'm so glad to see you, those of you who are here in the sanctuary, and welcome to those of you who are joining us and you're at home or at the lake or in the car or wherever. We're glad that you're with us as well. Today is Memorial Day weekend, and we honor the lives of those who lay down their lives in service to our country. At the same time, our hearts are heavy because of the wake of the deaths of 19 children and the two teachers who were killed at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas this week. This was the worst school shooting in 10 years and one of almost 50 mass shootings this month. Churches, schools, a high school graduation right here in Hot Springs. What are we to do? Surely, we need to keep their loved ones in our thoughts and prayers. But our polarized culture sees this as a this or that question. Do we need better mental health care or do we need better gun regulation? The answer, my friends, is yes. Yes, we need better care for those who suffer from mental illness, as my own mother did. And yes, we need reasonable gun laws reasonably enforced. Even more, we need things like high-quality early childhood education that is easily accessible, and what we 90s youth pastors used to call peer ministry, teaching our children and our youth how to minister to their peers who are hurting and how they can stand up to bullies. We need all of these solutions and so much more, but instead, as a nation, we continue to argue, bicker, and debate over which one of these things is the quick fix. So I invite you to join me in praying for the day that will come when children and teachers and churchgoers and grocery shoppers no longer fear doing things that we should all be able to take for granted. And on that day, may we take pride because we simply did what needed to be done. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for being with us even when we are mired in polarization that paralyzes us as individuals and as a nation. And God, now as we turn to you to hear your word for us today, we pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us wherever we are gathered, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight and in your sight alone, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. My friend Bud Reeves used to tell a story about an older couple, and one day this couple were sitting on the porch just relaxing and enjoying the afternoon, and the woman says to her husband, you know what I think would be really good? I think some fresh peaches and ice cream would just hit the spot right now. And yeah, some ice cream with some peaches. That would be wonderful, don't you think? And so her husband says, well, I don't think we have any ice cream or peaches. I'll just run down to the store and pick some up. She said, you better write that down. You know how forgetful you've been lately. Write it down. You think I'm a dummy, the man said. I can remember two things, ice cream and peaches. And so he storms out. He gets in his car, drives away, goes to the store, and he gets there. He's gone for a very long time, so long that his wife begins to get really worried. Finally, he comes rolling down the street, pulls up in the driveway, comes in with a paper sack in his hand, but the paper sack does not look anything like peaches and ice cream. Sure enough, she snatches it out of his hand. She says, give me that sack. She looks inside, and there are two tins of sardines. And she says, you old dummy, you forgot the crackers. Memory is a funny thing, isn't it? Memory is a funny thing. I mean, I can walk from one room to another and forget what I came in to get. And some of it's just having too much on my mind, but some of it is the aging process, if I can be completely honest. But forgetting where you put your keys can be very, very frustrating. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad of a thing. But what I really hate is when I forget something that is truly important. One year back when we first started dating, I forgot Michelle's birthday. Boo, yeah. She still married me, but she does still bring that up from time to time. So how do you and I remember the important stuff? What tools do we use? Well, you can write it down, you can make a list, you can group things together, you can use mnemonics or alliteration. But do you know, if you really want to remember something that is very important, one of the best things that you can do is to sing it. Let's try one. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P,
Q, R, S, T, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Now I've sung my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me?
Amen. All right. Now, my favorite example of this is when Michelle was in American history class in about the 7th or the 8th grade. Her teacher gave a quiz in which they had to write down, from memory, the preamble to the U.S. Constitution. Eyes down, pencils up. All the kids start to write. Well, somebody starts to hum. Now, kids, back in the 1970s when I was a child, when God was a boy and dinosaurs roamed the earth, we had something called Saturday morning cartoons. We didn't have 24/7 streaming services, and so if you wanted to, we didn't have Blu-rays, we didn't have DVDs, we didn't even have VHSs or Betamax. You can Google that if you need to. So if you wanted to watch cartoons, you had to wait and watch them on Saturday morning. Now, between cartoons, and I believe this was on ABC, they would play something called Schoolhouse Rock. Now, your parents, or God forbid, your grandparents, may have shown you these on Disney Plus. But they were short, animated songs that taught you stuff about grammar and science and math and history. You know, conjunction, junction, what's your function? And I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. All right. By the way, Bob Doreau, who sang Lolly, 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 Get Your Adverbs Here, and wrote a bunch of those songs, was born right here in Arkansas. Amen and hallelujah. Yeah, he was from Arkansas. Well, one of those Schoolhouse Rock shorts, believe it or not, was about the preamble to the Constitution. And so the kids in Michelle's, one of the kids in Michelle's class starts humming. And then they started to sing, "Establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility." And by the end, the whole class had joined in the chorus, "Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Now, you can Google that and hear a much better version of that. But anyway, everybody in the class, Michelle said, got an A that day. Amen? Singing something can help us to remember things that are very important. It is a powerful way to form memory. And so that is why music and singing are such a vital and integral part of worship. When we sing together as Christians, we are sharing our praise and our lamentation with God and with one another. And that happens in our story from Acts 16 this morning. Now, Acts 16 is a little bit more than halfway through the book, so a lot has happened. We need to catch up just a little bit before we get to the meat of this story. You may remember that when Paul is introduced, he's executing Christians. But then he has a vision where Christ meets him on the road to Damascus. And the Lord tells Paul that he was going to share the good news with all of God's people. Well, Paul took God's command to carry the good news out into the whole world very seriously, especially to outsiders and outcasts. And so from Jerusalem, Paul heads north to Antioch, about a 300-mile journey. In Antioch, Jesus' followers are called Christians for the first time. Christian literally means little Christ. Can we say that together? It means little Christ. Little Christ. And that's where we were called Christians for the first time, was in Antioch. From Antioch, Paul begins his first missionary journey. This journey is some 1,250 miles throughout the eastern Mediterranean and Turkey. And this is before planes, trains, and automobiles. It was all on foot and perhaps a little bit by horse. And as Paul and his companions traveled, they kept doing the things that Jesus did in his ministry. They had vision, they spread the good news of Jesus Christ, they shared with one another, and they healed people. Paul and his friends were amazingly successful. Then they headed back home, and they told all the folks in Jerusalem how successful their mission had been. But, you know, sometimes when you're successful, people will try to shoot you down. And that happened to Jesus, and it also happened to Paul. People started telling Paul that he couldn't do things that way. They said, you know, that's not the way we've always done it. You have to do it our way. You've got to follow our rules. You have to worship the way that we worship, and you can't be saved unless you do. Well, Paul respectfully disagreed. He reminded them that we are not saved by anything we do, say, or think. We are saved by what God has done in Jesus Christ. So Paul said, well, sure, you have to stop doing some things. You can't worship idols. You can't be promiscuous. You have to respect life. But apart from those three core things, anything else is pretty much fair game. That was good enough for them. And so they sent Paul and his companions on their way. Paul launched his second missionary journey. It was twice as long as the first, covering some 2,600 miles on foot and by ship. About halfway, Paul and Silas and some of their other friends arrive in Troy. And there in Troy, Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia begging him to cross the Aegean Sea and minister to them. So they followed the vision. They caught the very first ship across the sea to Macedonia. When they got to Philippi, they started doing what Jesus did. They shared the good news, they shared Jesus, and people responded. One of them was a woman named Lydia, who opened her home to them. They used her house as a base to continue their work of spreading the good news and sharing healing and sharing God's love with outsiders. One day, on their way to the synagogue, they ran across a slave girl who had this amazing ability to predict the future. She started following them around and shouting, "Hey, these guys are God's slaves. They're telling us how to be saved." And that was okay at first. And they could, you know, they tried to ignore it. But after several days of her yelling that continuously, they were pretty sick of it. Amen? Paul turns to the girl and shouts, "You get out of her in the name of Jesus Christ." And the spirit left her. Now, healing the girl would have been all well and good if it hadn't been for her owners. She was making them rich, and they were really ticked off. They dragged Paul and Silas downtown, and they told the city leaders that they had been telling everybody to break the law. Even the crowd joined in, and the leaders had Paul and Silas and their friends stripped down, beaten, and thrown down into the innermost cell of the local prison. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but I did a little time in prison. And when I was in prison, I was in a women's prison, because I was a chaplain intern in a women's prison when I was in seminary. I spent 9 months serving as a chaplain intern at Metro State Prison in South Atlanta. And I'll tell you, that prison was spick and span, amen? Those women had nothing to do 24/7 but clean those facilities. And I assure you, I would have eaten anything off any floor in that entire facility. So I thought about Metro State when I was in Jerusalem a few years ago. We went to a first century Roman prison. It may be the very prison where Jesus was held by Pontius Pilate. So you go down into this cold, dark, damp cave that they used for a prison. The upper area has this big stone slab laid out, and that's where they would lay the prisoners down, face down, to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. And if you look in the ceiling above, carved into the stone are marks where the cat of nine tails hit the ceiling before it hit the body. You can imagine what something that could carve into stone would do to human flesh. A friend of mine used to say, being a Christian ain't for wimps, amen? There's a 3-foot by 3-foot hole in the floor, and that was the original entry to the innermost cell. They would lower you down. But today, fortunately, there's a spiral staircase. We go down there, and we saw benches carved into the stone of the prison cell. And this was where the prisoners sat. And you could still see the notches where the shackles and bonds were attached to bind the prisoners' hands and feet. There were no lights, no running water, no toilets. Now, those are the kinds of conditions that Paul and Silas were in when Paul wrote the letter to Philemon and Philippians. It is in the darkness of a dungeon like that where Paul writes the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say what? Rejoice." So there they are in the innermost cell of the prison there in Philippi, and the guard puts their arms in the shackles. And that's when it dawned on them. Can you think of someone else in the Bible who cast out spirits? Can you think of somebody else in the Bible who was put in prison on trumped up charges? Can you think of anybody else in the Bible who had a crowd yelling at him? Can you think of anybody else who was stripped and beaten bloody? One more clue, just in case you haven't gotten it yet. Verse 24 tells us that the jailer secured their feet in the stocks. Every other time the word translated as stocks appears in the book of Acts, it refers to the cross. They're hanging there in a cruciform way. And at that moment, what do? If you're acting like Jesus and you begin to suffer like them, how about you pray? How about you sing? If you were here for our Tenebrae service on Good Friday, you remember Jesus' last words, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. Those are lyrics. They're from Psalm 22. Our psalms are songs to be sung. Do you think Jesus sang his last words? Well, Luke says that around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praise songs to God. And they remembered what Jesus showed us, that in the hour of our deepest darkness, victory is coming. Paul and Silas, and perhaps Jesus himself, sang their praise and their lamentation in the moment of their deepest suffering. That reminds me of my father-in-law, Faye. Faye was the best father-in-law anybody could ever have. 6 years ago this month, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. 3 weeks later, we were driving down on Memorial Day to see him in Hamburg and to cook out. Michelle's phone rang on the way. Her daddy had had a stroke, and they were taking him to the hospital in Crossett. Talk about kicking a man when he's down. The stroke robbed Faye of his movement and of his speech, but it never stole his spirit. They sent him up here to Baptist, and he spent several weeks here at BRI until the cancer outpaced the therapy, and they sent him home with hospice care. While he was at BRI, Faye really wanted to go to church. He loved to sing in the choir. He loved those old country songs, Church in the Wildwood, and that kind of stuff. And so Michelle went one Sunday to take him to the chaplain-led chapel service there at BRI. And there in worship, this man who could not hold a hymnal and could barely speak a word sang from memory. He sang his lament and his praise. Like Paul and Silas and Jesus, he sang through his suffering. And so shall we. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you today for the memory of those who have gone before, those who were able to express their lamentation and their praise even in the midst of the darkness. We thank you for the four chaplains who sang as the ship went down long ago. We thank you for Paul and Silas and for Jesus. God, we pray that you will continue to work in our hearts to give us light in the midst of the darkness, to give us hope in the midst of our anguish, and to ever hold before us the victory that you are bringing through the power and grace of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Let us stand now and affirm our faith through the words of the Canadian Creed, number 883 in the hymnal, or it's also printed in your bulletin. Let us unite our voices together as we confess, we are not alone.
We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is created, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Transferring from another church, whether that's another United Methodist Church or another Christian denomination, we invite you to come down on the singing of the last verse here. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ, then we want to invite you to get in touch with me or Brother Nick, and we would be glad to talk with you about professing your faith in Jesus and receiving the sacrament of Christian baptism. Let's join our voices together in our invitation, in our hymn of commitment, number 534, Be Still My Soul.
Be still my soul, my Lord is on the side. us online as well. This week is the Arkansas Annual Conference. We're meeting in Hot Springs toward the back half of the week, and I want to invite you and encourage you to be in prayer for all of the United Methodists in Arkansas who will gather there. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and Brother Nick wanted me to remind you, be sure and wear red. Some of you wear red again next week. Amen? And I'm one of those too. But anyway, be sure and wear red for Pentecost. Brother Nick is going to be preaching next Sunday. I'm excited to hear that as well. So we want to encourage you to come back for that. We'll have both services at the regular times next week as well. I do want to say a big thank you to the staff and to the folks in the AV booth and everybody who put together today's service and made it a wonderful event. And thank you again for joining us. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.